Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. Amen.
God bless you. This sunny morning in Chicago, Illinois. It is February 23rd. This month is zooming by, and we are coming together in our Friday Fellowship of Learners, looking at The Tongue, a Creative Force by Charles Apps. We are on chapter 5, My Personal Fight of Faith, where the author is sharing an experience that some of us may have had, and some of the questions and the errors that he made, that we made. And as I was reading it, I was reminded of the study of guarding your heart, taken out of Proverbs 4. And it says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And so we realize that the author, when he first started this chapter, he was sharing about putting a fleece out because he had a decision. So he fleeced the Lord, which was something we had read about in Scripture in the Old Testament, when one of the patriarchs wanted to get direction from God, and so he kept putting a fleece out and wanting it to be wet or dry or whatever, and whatever he thought about or wanted, it happened. So as a result, he felt he had heard from God, and so he proceeded. So we have to realize with a lot of things, because that is something that did happen in the Bible, it had an effect, okay? The author is sharing that he did that same thing based on Scripture, and that was not the outcome. And so we realize that when we go forth, even in the Word of God, it has to be for a season. It has to be for us, concerning us. And one of the things that will generate our actions is what is in our heart. So in this proverb, when it says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. This counseling was given to a young man by an older man in Proverbs. And he's telling him how to be successful in life. And the main focus of what he is to do comes from his heart. This lesson begins by a father telling his son to pay attention and listen closely. The advice is given by an older person. While things compete for our attention, an honorable life begins with the discipline to train our ears to listen to the truth, for the truth. Not to the truth, but listen for the truth for that season, for that time, for where we are. Whatever we tune our ears to hear, our eyes and heart will follow. The son is being taught to consume God's truth in every way possible, as it is the only thing that gives life and health to the entire being. It comes to a climax in verse 23, when it says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Our heart is the core of our being, our mind, our emotions, and our will. We demonstrate our love for God not by protecting our heart from intimacy with other people, but by guarding our heart from evil. Our heart is the wellspring of life. From the heart flows our words, our focus, our actions, our decisions. What we allow into our heart will work its way out in our communication, our priorities, our values, and our choices. And this leads us to the lesson that is shared by the author of how it started with one thing that was based out of Scripture, the author's journey in this chapter 5, started with one thing that was based out of Scripture, pleasing the Lord, and ending with years of failure. And one thing led to another. His heart became discouraged. And so as a result, he started to view what his eyes saw, what his ears heard, and what he felt. He went into the physical world to get his answers and to define his journey. He says, now I found a better way to find the will of God as opposed to fleecing. The author is saying, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. And I think this leads us into the relationship that God wants us transition from being religious, from being lingering in a redeemed state, but growing in a relationship with him. Because now, as the author said in Proverbs, he is admonishing us to listen to him. Let our ears hear him. Now, the author actually was remembering something he had read, and he was trying it out, okay? Out of season for him, apparently. And so we're taught here that what we have to do is to listen to what the Spirit is saying. We are given the powerful truth that the Spirit will speak our truth to us in these kinds of situations and circumstances as we seek the Lord. So the author is going to go a lot into prayer and what a prayer life should look like and what it will produce and how this production will happen. It's as though he made this investment. It was horrible. It crashed. He lost money. And he then started to say, well, it doesn't matter. It won't work anyway. Because he felt defeated because he read the power of the world into his heart. He didn't guard his heart. He allowed his heart to be influenced the world. The world tells us one thing through our senses. And the author talks about this, what does he call it? Their sense knowledge. They, you know, a sense knowledge. This is what my senses tell me to do. This is the secret of faith, continually saying what God says. So for two and a half years, the study of the word made the author get to a place of victory. And the key was being in the Word of God and looking to it to identify his situations and circumstances, not to emotion or what he saw with his eyes, what he felt, what he heard. So the author started to then speak this cloud of negativity. And as he would seek to accomplish something, he would actually sabotage himself with his words and say, well, it doesn't matter. It would matter any difference anyhow. No matter how deep I plant my seed, you know, it'll get choked. If I plant it light, not deep, it'll wash it away. If I plant it just right, then the rain won't come and it won't grow anyway. So no matter what he did year after year with his plant, his field, it did not produce what he desired for it to do, but he had spoke that it wouldn't. He kept making these negative statements. And I think we need to examine our conversation, examine our heart. What is our conversation coming from? Is it coming from what the world has identified as our circumstances and situation? Or is it coming from what the Word of God, the Word, says about our circumstances and situation, which are hid in God's promises? And because they're hidden in his promises, we must as view them as a treasure to be sought after. That's what the father in Proverbs was telling his son. You need to seek after these truths. Embrace her. He calls it a seed. She will, because it will be what heaven desires for you, given to you in the earth realm, so that you can establish it here in the earth, because it's already written in heaven. We are the healed. We are prospering and being of good health. All those things that the Word of God says we are by his stripes, we are healed. Okay, when we are not alone. You know, we are the head and not the tail. And I heard a study about being the head and not the tail, understanding you're the lender, not the borrower. And so this is what the Word of God says. And yet, we can look at our life around us and the circumstances and situations of what we will call just the world system and say, well, you have to do it here or you have to do it this way. And God is saying, no, you have to trust me and you have to depend on me for that which you want. So as long as the author kept feeling this negativity as related to his field and all the work he did, he was actually destroying his own prayer. He was praying God to prosper him, but also believing and saying in his heart, but nothing is working. You know, I'm not prospering. You know, I'm in debt, and I don't have enough money. I forgot what he said. He didn't have enough money to do, but it wasn't a major thing. I mean, he really was broke. He didn't have anything. He said he repented. He begged God to prosper him, but nothing worked. It was still negative in his speaking. He declared that it wasn't working, that he was a failure. He was at the end of his rope, so to speak. Financially, he had to borrow money to pay his bills. And there you go, the borrower and not the lender. He said, I was so poor, he said he couldn't pay attention. That's the truth. I had to go to church, but I didn't get anything out of the service because I was worried about my, and he says, finance. But we can put things in that place. Any situation or circumstance that's besetting us, if this is what in our mind and it is not the truth that God says, because it doesn't look that way, then we are not going to receive the blessings of the Word of God or the fellowship of the saints, because we are concerned. He says, don't be anxious for anything. Don't worry. And he said, a man came to his house selling some books, and it was, I said, we began to look at that book, Right and Wrong Thinking by Kenneth Hagin, and that it was different from anything he had read, that people think wrong, they believe wrong, and then they believe wrong, they act wrong. He remembers to this day that statement. People that think wrong, and thinking wrong means you're thinking and responding to what you see in the world, not what God said in the Word, okay? It went off inside of him like a bombshell. It just seemed like someone turned a light on within him. The truth will set you free. when he said it, it was like that a bombshell off inside of it. You know, it blew his mind. Cool. It was a burst of the light of God breaking through the lies of his senses. When he looked and saw this and he heard this from the banker and all of those things seemed so negative, there's never enough money, that, you know, how are we going to meet the bills and things like that. It's like he knew instantly that the entrance of his word gives light. It gives understanding into the simple things. He knew instantly that this was true. He ordered the book and began to dig into the word of God to see where what he was missing. It never heard, he said he never heard anybody preach that, for verily I say unto you, whatever a man shall say to a mountain, be thou removed, and it will be cast in the sea. And though we've heard that sermon, have we received the revelation of that as it relates to our circumstances and situations? One of the prayers in one of our books is, keep us at our hearts in all situations, but in all directions, every direction that intersects in our life, that is what we want to guard our heart from, what the world says, how the world has identified the situation and circumstances we're going in, and see what the word has said about that situation and declare it. Declare it not once or twice in prayer, but declare it continuously, meditating on it. Every time that thought comes up, every time that situation or circumstance you're faced with, you know, this is how we're going to meet the bills, how is this going to happen? We don't just, I have the money, you know, I am rich. And to say that, often, which is what we feel, we say that and we go, well, you know, but that's like lying because I'm not. But no, that is the truth because God says you are. And so it gets to that point, is whose report are you going to believe? Are we going to believe the report of the enemy, which is reported to us through our senses, just like when the spies went into the land? And they came back, and they said, oh, it's full of giants. Well, God didn't tell them to go over there and see what was in the land. He told them, I am giving you this land. Go and look at it. In other words, go and make your strategy for going in there. But they came back, part of them, and decided, well, we can't do that because they're giants. He didn't need them to tell him there were giants there. But he needed them to believe, like the three spies that did. He says, yeah, they're giants, but God said it's ours, so it's ours. Now, it didn't look like it could be, but they weren't walking by what the world definition of victory looks like. They weren't using the world to define their circumstance and situation. And they chose to use the promise that God said. He said, it's ours, so we can do it. Okay, now you go left and you go right. They went and they saw the lay of the land. They went to familiarize themselves with the lay of the land, but they weren't sent there to see if they could conquer it. God said, I'm giving it to you. So they were going there, supposed to be going there, to get a strategy for God to have victory through the children of Israel. And so we don't often address a situation or circumstance that way. We have a hard time going beyond what we see and what we feel and more of what the world says. If you don't do this, we're going to repossess your car. We're going to evict you or any of a number of things. And those things may happen. Those things may happen. So you say, well, how is that victory in God? Well, that's warfare, and it's also circumstances of some of the decisions we made, and we have this a cycle of sin that the Bible and Scripture describes. It's longing, temptation, sin, consequences, confession, repentance, restoration, then back to longing again. We're learning that in one of those classes this week. And so what we see here is this longing, you know, the pride of life and the lust of the flesh, the eyes. And so these are the things that we are warned against. And you know what? We are informed. We're not warned against them. We are informed of their existence and God's strategy against them. And so being in the promises of God are so powerful. And maybe that's a study we need to begin to do, is to familiarize ourselves with some of the promises of God that are so powerful, they will change our circumstances. They will change our thinking, and that will change our words, the words that we speak. And now we understanding how these words are creative power that we have been given, an authority that we have in the earth realm to establish here on earth what God has already written about us in heaven. And so as we get to this point to build our spirit over time, then when these truths are established in our spirit, they will become true in us. That's what we will see. When we declare, it says to study and search the word for promises that pertain to us as believers. Make a list of them and confess them aloud every day. This is knowing that there is an answer, valuing and treasuring this answer and this strategy of God, and then getting on board with it so that this sense knowledge will say that to be a lie, and we will say, no, it is the truth because it is the word of God. Now, ours are always contrary to God's word, which is why we are not to walk by sight or by our natural senses, but we are to walk by the faith we have. Well, what faith? The faith in the promises. Well, what promises? How many promises can you just think about and you sit for 5 minutes? How many promises? There are hundreds of them, and each one is our way of escape from the wrong thinking that the world and the definition of the world wants us to use to define ourselves, to define our circumstances, and to define our situation. And so we can often look at the fact that, you know, what you see like this, that I won't use that anymore, but we have to realize that what we see is not that which we should be basing our life on, but what we say. Because what we say will create what the word of God says should be created. So we have to understand how this is going to take us to a good place. Okay. This is going to bring us to a good place in the way we think and the words that we say that will transform the world that we live in. The author shares how he decided these sense knowledge that are contrary, and that a lot of them come to us through the things that we hear. You know, our faith are really in these things, even though we would say, no, it's not, but it really is because we have ingested. So he went on this two-week fast, for a word fast, where he didn't read anything but the word of God. And anything pertaining to the word. He didn't watch television nor even a news program for 2 weeks. He was so excited about the word at the end of these 2 weeks that he hadn't really gone back to that practice of, you know, and I got it bad, of just sitting and watching TV. He began the process of training his spirit with the word of God. Because one day as he was confessing, the devil flee from him because he resisted him in Jesus' name. He suddenly realized that the anointing of God was rising up in him. His spirit had received it, and now it was being manifest in him. In an instant of time, he knew the devil was fleeing from him, and his words took on authority. They took on authority because they were birthed out of God's word. God's word filled with faith, and that is how faith comes. God's word that we confess and release, and we do it again and over, not just once or twice, but continuously focusing on God's word to bring it to our hearts that nothing else will dwell there. That's loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Loving him, loving everything that he has said, and depending on it to perform all that it promises it does. And that's what faith is. And as that faith grows, the words then that come forth from us will train our human spirit. It gets to the point where there's just some things you will know not to say. And so it becomes a point that we will begin to, the process of weeding out religious traditions from the word and from the words we say. Just because traditionally, you know, you say, well, you know, if you feel sick, you are not healed. But we have to choose to believe that Christ says, by my stripes, you were healed. If you pray and it looks worse, keep bombarding the gates of heaven. But the word says, when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall. And that's such a simple thing. And you shall. But you must believe them. So when you go to the word and see what the word says about your circumstances, or that you, if you feel sick, and you see what God says about it, then we have to go as we meditate on God's word. He said by his stripes we were healed. We were healed, and we start looking at the word heal. We don't use the world's definition of things, but we get God's definition of things. And when we do that, it will override the physical aspects of things. And I am a witness to that. I am. That when you focus on what God says, then it will be what fuels your thinking and your emotions and your will. God said it, and that's it. And just keep saying it. I would say for years, and Jesus said, you know, come unto me, all ye labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. And every time I would want to say, well, this is hard, or someone else would say, this is hard, that word would pop in my head, in my spirit. And I had to choose at that moment, well, yeah, but, no, there's no but. He said it, and that's it. Now, I just need to see it. What does it look like? This is what you said. I believe it. Now, this is what my eyes see. But then that's why we have the prayer, open the eyes of my understanding so that I don't see with my eyes, but I see with the faith that I have in the word, in your word, in your promise. That's how I view the world, not through rose-colored glasses, but I view them through the word. And if the word says it, I believe it is. It says, my God supply of all my needs according to his riches. So I have to understand, how rich is he? I got to believe it, that he has all power over all things. All things belong to him. One of the things that happens so often for me is that when I feel something physically, my thought goes straight to the scripture. He says the heart of every man is in the hand of God. I'm in your hand. That's it. And that's a good place. Then I start thinking about what it's like to be in the hands of the Creator. That's a powerful place. And then when you continue, the Spirit giving us insight as to what that looks like, what that means, what that accomplishes for us, everything else pales in comparison. And that's that grace to being sufficient, that no matter what thorn is in my side, it don't even bother me at this point, because at this point, I am immersed in the promises, and that's all I see. It's almost like being in a bubble, and that bubble is the promises of God, and nothing can get in there because he is all-powerful. When you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall. Sometimes just three simple words. He said it. God said this. I shall. So then that means I will. The Lord said, the Lord is my shepherd. I do not want. When you want what all around you. And yet you say that and you declare that, and then you sit and you meditate on that. Well, no, he said, I shall not want. So there's nothing I can want that I don't get, because he's my shepherd, and then he's the good shepherd. And so I understand what a shepherd does and how what he does for the sheep, and what condition that causes the sheep to dwell in, because he is my shepherd. Or no weapon formed against me will prosper. Okay, when we look at, when it looks like everything that comes along are working against us and prospering. And it doesn't feel like I'm prospering. But again, that's that sense knowledge. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways, in every direction, place a guard over your heart with the word of God, in every direction. And when you notice there's a direction that is weak, a link there that's weak, and you can think it and you can declare the word, but it is not powerfully changing your thinking, then you just continue to declare that word. You know the Bible is true, and it was in the Bible. God said it. There is a, I'm reading the thing here, but it says, one morning as I was confessing the word, I stopped and said, Lord, you know I don't believe all this I am saying is true in me. It was that tradition coming through that made me feel like I was lying. However, I knew the Bible was true, and it was in the Bible. And then that becomes the bottom line. So you can say everything else, and yet that's something that as we learn and we study the Bible, the inerrancy of the Bible, is it possible? Is it limited? You know, but the Bible is true as the word of God coming inspired from God for us. And he's sharing what the Lord is saying, and he'll say to us, it's okay if that's what you're saying, just keep saying what the word says until it becomes a part of you. Then it will be true in you. And so that's part of that, we're free, and you get that, it's like a bombshell, knowing you're free. When that word then explodes and enters every cell and becomes subject, every cell in your body becomes subject to the word of God and what God has said about you, and it has exploded in this creative force within you on a physical level, the spirit man has taken over. And that's what is to happen, because we can only worship God in spirit and in truth. In truth being in the Word of God. We can only worship him in the Word of God, what he has said, the truth. He says, so keep confessing, I have abundance and no lack. My God supply of all my needs, until it has formed in our spirit and become a part of us. Then we realize we have broken into a realm of faith that we have never knew existed before. Oh, it's glorious. It is glorious when you come to that realization. And at that point, the author is sharing with us, the devil flees. He flees from that area of your life, and we continue. It's not that we are perfected then. No, we come to a good place, but a place that knows that there is a better place, and we continue to go there. The realm, a new realm of faith. If you abide in me and my word abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. And I know that some use that as the you can pray it and have it of traditional kind of cycle. You ask, he'll give it to you. But there is so much more to asking, because it says you got to abide in him. And him, he is the word. We have to live the word of God. Those promises have to have become a part of us. When they become a part of us, we shall ask what we will, and it will be done unto you. He said he can now make those statements with full assurance that God will honor his word. It was a strange feeling on the inside. You know, in our spirit, we know these things. We can't always describe them communicate them to other people, but we have this abundance, and we looked at the abundance last week, meaning more than enough. We have this, it's not an excess, but it is more than enough. Can plainly see that the natural eye, it was not manifested. But when we continue to declare the word of God, we will see the manifestation of it. He was excited about positive prayer, and he never prayed about that again. He began to praise God for the answer. And he said, therefore, he realized that in the name of Jesus, if we say it, I don't know where there is any land available. He wanted to buy more land, and he didn't know where any land was. And remember, he was in this place of poverty and lack, according to what the world defines as by that. But he had that in him to get more, land. And so the story that he tells about it is amazing. It's just amazing. And I know that this is how God works with us. When we believe him, this is how he works with us. And not just work with us, but it causes the world to see God in a different light. Remember that light, he shines that light, and it becomes the darkness becomes light, and it becomes light as we travel through it in faith in the promises of God. And then he realized what he was saying. He says, I don't know where there is land available, but I know you do, God, and I ask you in the name of Jesus to cause it to come to me. I see in your word where you said, the angels were ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who are heirs of salvation. Therefore, I say the ministering spirits will begin to work and cause the land to come to me in Jesus' name. Give me my land back, okay? So we have to get to a point, we say it every, do you know what your land is? Do you know what you're asking to get back? It could be coming back and you don't know it because you haven't got the definition of it from the Word of God. But once we get that definition from the Word of God, then when we say that scripture, there will be an explosion of freedom and power and authority in the words that we say and declare, because we will have submerged ourselves until it has become a part of us, after the faith in what God has said about me. And so one of the, this whole situation of the author and this new land that he wanted was from actually some land that people had been trying to buy, but they couldn't buy. And they actually came to him and asked him if he wanted it. And he didn't even understand why they would ask him. Everybody knew he was broke, but they did. But they came to him. That's what the word said would happen. So it's not what it looked like it should happen, but God said it would happen. That's what will happen. So the foreigner and the stranger will give you your land back, give you that which belongs to you. You are entitled to, has been promised to you. But you have to be in the Word of God to even know what's promised to you. So that's why those promises are important to know and to declare, because that's what you're getting back. So if you don't know and declare them, and you're really not sure what you're getting back, or maybe you want it to be the car or the this or the that or the other, that is not what the promise is for. And so we have to realize what it is for so that we're able to enjoy it fully and completely, and then rejoice in it so that the world will see something new and different, some light, the light shining in this dark place. And so the situations with this man ended up being that not only had, when he ended up actually getting the land, first nobody would give him a loan because, you know, he was broke. And then he said there was a bank across the sea, so just go over there. And so he went over there, and they said, oh, what you want? How can we help you? Okay, what do you need? Okay, we'll give it to you. You know, he said, we know that land. That's some good land. People had been wanting it. And so if he had it, that was the collateral enough for them. And so he was given the money. So he called the people, only to find out that the people actually really didn't want to sell the land. They were heirs to the land, and somebody wanted to know the value of the land. So they said, let's put it on the market. We'll find out what it's worth. So they had no idea that they would be offered as large a sum of money as they were. But when the gentleman went to the bank and they asked, he asked for much more than was needed. And so he offered it to them. You know, now how many of us would ask for more than what's needed? We're not going to offer it to the person, but we're going to keep it. Okay? Eating your seed. And so the fact that he offered it all caused that whole family to say, well, yeah, let's sell it. Because we couldn't get this from rent and nothing else. So even something that had not been designed to happen, because this gentleman had faith in the promise of God, God made it happen. And that's what he does with everything. God makes it happen. He said, God, that immediately ministering angels went forth to change some things, to make them line up with the will of God for this young man, because this young man believed the word of God, and God is true to his word. And that's where he wants us to be. Make your health line up. You know, make your situations and circumstances line up. Make your ministry line up. Make your children line up. You know, make your home line up. All these things that come from promises with God. I remember my grandmother used to share the word of God with us, and she always said that, what is that scripture, you live? For as long as you live, you've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. And I thought, really? You know, nobody in our family was ever hungry and begging for bread, and, you know. So as a child, I didn't believe that. I really didn't. She said, and it's nice, but it's like, yeah, right, okay. But there was so much impacted in that, you know, the righteous, you know, as long as they live by the word of God, live in the word of God, live through the word of God, live honoring the word of God. I mean, all of these things are part of that scripture that we need to understand and embrace. Then their seed will not, they cannot, because God said it, and he's going to follow their seed around and give them anything they need or whatever they need. And they're not even going to know why they got it or where it came from or how did this happen, okay? And they at some point will probably realize, you know, my mama was praying for me. And it is that praying, but that believing what you pray, believing that in your heart, that is what God will do, because that is what God said he would do. So let our belief change our confession, and let the words of our mouth and the meditations in our heart be acceptable to God, because it honors him, and he intends and will and has written in heaven already to bless us. Now he said, write it on earth. Bind it on earth. Get that blessing and wrap it up in a pocket and set it in your life or under the tree, because it's your gift from me. Amen. All right. So, how was this chapter impactful for you? And did anybody try the challenge of watching your words? I said for a couple of hours, but, you know. This is the Lenten season, and it probably would be a really good
Good morning, Overseer.
Hello there.
Hi. I can't say I've been watching my words, although I can say that trying to have a more disciplined devotional time makes certain words less likely to appear in my vocabulary. That's all about that. Also, this book has really helped me change a little bit in the way that I pray, because it keeps the whole idea of having the Word of God in front of you. Not saying that that's like earth-shattering, but sometimes it's earth-shattering on how easy it is to get in a different kind of modality, you know, with that. But just the whole idea of the creative power of the tongue and just reminding myself to pray God's word back to him instead of whatever my situation is and what I need and what I want. And then lastly, when you were just talking about the scripture that your grandmother shared with you, never seeing the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread, what kind of hit me as you were saying it and as I was just kind of thinking about it was, yeah, that is incredible or phenomenal, as Apostle would say, that has been the history. But I really felt convicted, like, and Lord, thank you for your grace and your mercy when me and mine just collectively have not been living in a way that would be righteous. Of course, I know we're in Christ, so I'm not talking about forfeiting heaven, but that God has continued to maintain and sustain throughout all kinds of ups and downs, and some of those things were certainly done knowingly and willingly, and, you know, other times it was, excuse me, it was just the grace of God. Well, always it was the grace of God, but just the whole idea that reality on both of those sides, you know, never seeing the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging bread, right, that God is so faithful and, you know, throughout the whole journey is
right,
just an exciting thing to me, that to know that he is always with us, So, you know, God is good all the time, all the time.
Amen. Anybody else? That is wonderful insight. I think for me, as you said, it shakes up a truth, and maybe that, and wasn't that we don't know it, but maybe it's that we knew it, but this is the next step of that. And so walking into this season of the tongue and the creative word, and we know, you know, the scriptures about the boat and all that. But this is different, and it is, and maybe it's not well. I believe it's part of the process of us being in the Word and the Word becoming a part of us. And so we have these bright lights of bombshell explosions, even though they may not be explosive, but they're definitely enlightening. What? You know, and an awe at what God is doing and just how, I'll say, real he is. And, you know, we had a choir that you saw, they said, he's real, you know, he's real to me. You say, well, of course he's real. No, we don't really think he's real, you know, because if we really understood he's real and he's really real the way he said he's real, we would do some things a lot different. But as we learn, you know, the realness of God, just how real he is, actually, you know. And then we are giving him more and more a part of our life, more priority in our life, more reverence, you know, through our life we're doing. But that's as we learn, you know, we grow when we know. And so the thing I desire is that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, and not just something that's traditional or something that it's okay if I say it, other people say it. No. You know, I want the promises of God, and we probably will do the promises of God because it's such a powerful thing that we need, and not the promises that we know, but the ones that are in obscurity that we may have heard it, okay, but we're not really familiar with it. And we have not embraced it to become a part, to become a part in our life. Amen.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So we have a lot of things going on. I pray that you self available to some of them. Don't ask me what they are, but tonight and tomorrow and next weekend, there's all kinds of gatherings, all kinds of gatherings. That church talk is tonight, I think. Huh? Yeah. Overseer Marlena will tell you. Okay.
So tonight, the 23rd, Vision Ministry affiliate, Apostle Robert Holiday and Rock Ministry, they will be in Palo Heights, with real questions and real answers, doing a state of the church. It is Apostle Holiday, Ambassadorial Prophet Henderson, Prophet Randall, I believe it is, as well. And so you can join them. It is not virtual. Again, it is not virtual. It is a free event. And if you would, address. It is a free event. And so we invite you to come out and to join us tonight and then tomorrow, which is Saturday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Come and join Ministry Affiliate Pastor D'Altro Ford, Central Station Ministry, in conjunction with Circle Roots Women's Ministry. with their 2024 women's gathering, and it is birthing season, which is the theme. Those tickets are $25, and it is from 11 to 3 p.m. I believe you're able to pay at the door. It could be cash, Cash App, or Zelle. And we invite you to come out for those 4 hours. And then next weekend, Friday, the Consortium of Apostolic Women will host a prayer gathering virtually at 7 p.m., and an email will come out with the login information from that. So 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, the Consortium of Apostolic Women will host a prayer gathering from 7 to 8 p.m. And then on Saturday, March 2nd, we invite you to come out and join AEN, or LSC AEN, in conjunction with CCPI, the RDS students, as they do the gathering for this year, which is Prayer Evolved, coming from Genesis 4 and 26. That donation is $10. It can't be paid at the door. Excuse me. And we invite you to come out and be a part of that. It starts at 10 a.m. And we, again, are at 150 East 124th Place. So if you would like more information, you can come out and join us.
Okay. And that's just a few of what we're doing. So God bless you. We'll be on Chapter 6 next week, and it will be March 1st. Wow, year is flying. All right, so be blessed, embrace, obey, know, and enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Have a good one. Bye-bye.